This year's Chattanooga Festival of Black Arts and Ideas will begin in the downtown, starting on Monday, Memorial Day. Ricardo Morris is the festival's founder and CEO.
Rick, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Tell us more about this year's festival.
Well, this is the fourth annual festival, and it's done in honor of Juneteenth. Obviously, last year, we were in the midst of a pandemic, and so a lot of the activities that would have taken place were not able to take place. However, we did manage to do a celebration on Walnut Street Bridge with a show of 157 RBG flags for the number of years from Juneteenth when it was done in 1865. So that was really great. So we're taking it slow as we try to get back into it this year. We still don't have a full slate of events. Most of the things that we planned this year are going to be on the outside, not the theater and not some of the other things that would have been on the inside. We are kicking off a little earlier than we have in the past in that we are trying to celebrate or commemorate, I should say, the 100th anniversary of Black Wall Street Massacre, which took place in Greenwood, which is a community inside Tulsa, Oklahoma, 100 years ago on the 31st. So we're going to kick that off in Miller Park with a dialogue of young people. We're calling it a townhouse meeting at the Waterhouse Pavilion there, talking about racism, talking about this past year, how they feel as young Black people here in Chattanooga, what are some things we can do to support them, to encourage them, to make them feel safe. And then we'll move from that space across the street into Miller Park. We'll have 300 red flags in memory of those that were massacred in Oklahoma.
And talk more about what happened in 1921.
You have this community that was pretty self-sustained in terms of a Black community. It was called Greenwood, located in Tulsa. It's like East Lake or other neighborhoods that we would have in Chattanooga, but it was part of Tulsa, Oklahoma. But it had all kinds of different businesses, doctor's offices, two schools. It had a hospital. It had an airport, but all self-sustained and run completely by Black people. And it was the richest Black community in the United States. And that's how it got the name Black Wall Street. So you had all this very self-sustained community. They never had to venture outside of that neighborhood into any of the rest of Tulsa. As is often the case, the white community in Tulsa were jealous and envious of it. But it's kind of started with a gentleman who went onto an elevator, tripped, ended up ripping the dress of a white woman that was on the elevator. She ran out screaming, but later said that he didn't do anything to her. But by that time, the white mob had gathered outside the jail and to try and lynch him. There was a Black presence of soldiers there and had just been let go from the war that were trying to protect the jail from that. Of course, they were overrun as well. And so by the time it was over, over 10,000 families and houses were displaced and burned to the ground. It probably was the first time ever in the United States that an attack was done from the air. So they dropped bombs onto that community and really totally decimated the entire community.
Because this was right after World War One.
Yeah, 1921. So yes. So this was an incredible assault on that community. And people fled into the woods and a lot never came back to that community and that neighborhood. That became known as the Black Wall Street Massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And you're beginning with that because Black arts and ideas, they don't occur in a vacuum. There is history. They are informed by the good and the awful, such as
That's right. So the reason for the name, the Festival of Black Arts and Ideas, is because it doesn't operate in a vacuum. We wanted to use the arts as a tool as well as entertainment. So it's a great way for healing. It's a great way for resolving issues. It's a great way to bring people together to give them a message that they probably wouldn't otherwise hear. And in our case, connecting Black arts to other issues and ideas within the community, whether it's economic development or whether it's Black history that has not been told the way it should have been told. And so that's the reason behind us commemorating this 100th anniversary. And we'll do it just that way. There will be spoken word that night starting at 6:21 in Miller Park. There will be singing. There will be dance. We even have, I'm calling it a visual art installation of 300 red flags to represent those lives that were lost. We'll have a wall of remembrance where people can sign names of people that have passed. And not just because of the 300 people that passed at Tulsa, but also remembering those who died from COVID, those who died from police brutality, and any other reasons that people have lost loved ones. We want to take this Memorial Day to remember that, which, by the way, is another holiday started by Black people. During the Civil War, a lot of the bodies, both Union and Confederate soldiers, were left on the fields. And enslaved and newly freed slaves gathered those bodies and buried them and had ceremonies, which would have been the first actions of a Memorial Day. So it's kind of ironic that we're having this commemoration of Black Wall Street, remembering those on another day that was also set aside and started by Black people here in America.
And beyond Memorial Day, as you say, this festival is spread out through Juneteenth. When you talk about Black arts and ideas, you have to talk about film.
That's right. And so we're doing a film festival. We're using Community Haven, which is located in East Chattanooga. And over the every Friday night from June the 4th through the 25th, we'll be introducing those different films outside again because of trying to adhere to some of the lingering COVID restrictions for that. We also are doing our Black Genealogy workshop, which will be held this year at Chattanooga State with that community. So we expect a bigger crowd that's going to be enjoying that as well. We're doing our visual art exhibition in cooperation with EPB in their windows. We'll be at Proof, and as well as recently opened first Black gallery in Chattanooga called Quixote Gallery, which is located on MLK. So we're going to be doing a artist-to-artist roundtable with local artists, as well as Jerome Meadows, who was the artist to create the Ed Johnson Memorial. So again, just collaborating with a lot of different entities in Chattanooga with the Ed Johnson Project, with Bessie Smith. We're holding a vendor workshop on how to be a better small business entrepreneur on June the 1st. Then commemorating Juneteenth on the 19th of June, starting at 3:00, from 3:00 to 9:00 in Community Haven, which is at 815 North Hickory in East Chattanooga, which is a little different than what we've done in the past with Juneteenth. We really felt strongly about bringing it into the Black community. And so we're in a neighborhood in East Chattanooga for this year's Juneteenth celebration.
And this will be a block party.
It will be a block party. Lots of entertainment, vendors, field games. We're telling people to bring their lawn chairs and tents if they want to, blankets, and just, you know, relax and enjoy all the festivities. We're going to be having strawberry soda, which was a staple of the Juneteenth celebration. Is one of the things that they first did in the early celebrations of Juneteenth.
And where can people go online for more information about everything happening at the festival?
They can go to blackartsandideasfest.com. And both arts and ideas have an S, and it's all spelled out, blackartsandideasfest.com.
All right. Rick, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.